Welcome to the Eric For Real Show, and I am Eric For Real. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Now please sit back and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Eric For Real Show, and I am Eric For Real. This is supposed to be a 3-year anniversary. It's been a long time coming, I guess, but you know. This is what it is. This is married life. This is, we just take it day by day and figure it out as we go. But, I didn't even tell you who's here, but I guess you guys already know based on that intro. Who I have sitting in front of me is my better half. You know what? We should have just started recording because we should have just videoed it.
I told you.
Let's have one for the Stanley Girlies. Oh my god! All right, let's just go because we're gonna be here laughing at each other the whole time. Who I have here in front of me is my wife. This is another, it's not a revisit, but it's a introduction to our new lives. It's who we are now. It's it might be very different from the first episode we did. But it'll probably be better. It'll probably be better. And I don't even know what to call you. What do I call you? Marissa? Is that your name?
Your wife. You don't call me by my name.
Is that your babe? Marissa?
Yeah.
Bebe. Oh my god, he's gonna start snoring. we have our child. Marissa has our child in her arms. It's a little hairless baby. That snores and poops and... You hear? It's Mr. Mac. Oh, he's awake.
Mr. Macaroni.
Okay, guys. No, seriously. Let me conduct myself like a professional here because I'm getting out of hand. All right. Like all good episodes, I'm going to start you off with a quote. Marriage is not just spiritual communion. It is also remembering to take out the trash. Joyce Brothers.
Love that one.
So I guess you guys know what we're going to be talking about here. It's going to be about our journey so far, being a married couple. A lot has happened since our first episode, I would say.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2 trillion years ago. No, it seems like a long time, but yet it's only been...
It feels like just yesterday.
I will give you the exact date of that show, that episode.
Not when you released it, right? When we actually recorded it?
It was probably the same week. So, I mean, I'm just going to ballpark it.
Guesstimate?
So, it was June 25th, 21. That's when I released it. So, I would say... Oh, and you know what? That was a whole thing, too, because I remember we had a re-edit and something happened.
Yeah,
and we had to re-record.
I actually think it was the first or second week of June.
Yeah, so it was probably... This is when she was, like, in her...
Single girl era.
There you go, blowing on my mic. She was in her Steve Jobs era. So I couldn't get the time of day. But no, so yeah, it was somewhere, like, yeah, somewhere in June... 21. I mean, what is that? You do the math. You're good at math.
2021 it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so 2 years ago.
2 years ago, but yet it feels like 10, 15 years. Oh, excuse me. All right, babe.
Does it really feel like 10, 15 years?
It feels like a long time.
I feel like it feels like just yesterday.
No, it feels like a long time. No, you got to get closer.
How about that?
My wife forgot how to podcast with me for some reason. But
I have the baby in my arms. I'm blowing up the mics 1 second. I'm not the other.
You know, she forgot. You know, the first time around, everything was different. You know, it was like she was all excited, you know, attentive. Now she's just there like.
That's not true. I've been trying to get him to do this episode for a long time, guys. So.
Honestly, I'm a private person. I am a private person and I don't like to give away too much of my personal life, and this is a lot of my personal life, but allegedly somewhere my wife said, you know, a lot of people ask me how, like, how we just, you know, thrive and just do the thing because it looks like we handle it very well. And I was just like, who says that? So she was like,
it's true. It's true. I've gotten a lot of that from a lot of you guys that, one, that you would love for us to do a couples episode. Two, that, you know, we've gotten a lot of compliments through the years. And so I thought that it would be fun to, you know, do an episode together now being married over a year. And since this is how it all started, really.
That's true. Taking it back to it all, how it all started. So anyways, so she's been wanting to do an episode and I've been like reluctant because, you know, personal life and there's weirdos out there. But I guess apparently there are people on her side of the world that want to hear these things. I'm sure people on my side too want to hear about it. But nonetheless, this is a little different. This is the marriage episode featuring my wife. Wow, you did that very carefully. Thank you. With her Stanley Cup.
Trying to be conscious.
What is up with the Stanley Cup era with girls now? Stanley Cup.
It helps us drink more water.
You know what helps drink more water?
Drinking more water.
Drinking more water. Yeah. Also, you know what else helps? You know what else helps marriage besides that quote? I'll tell you why I picked the quote. But also, you know, they say know thyself. Know thy wife. That'll take you a long way, fellas. Know thy wife.
Don't, and know thy husband.
Don't think there's a doubt in your mind when it comes to knowing your wife, because you husbands and wives know each other very well, and you would be surprised. But anyways, the reason I picked that quote is because, you know, like all things, people flock to like the fantasy of like marriage. You know, they think it's like, oh, like it's always going to be a fairy tale and it's always going to be, you know, this big honeymoon. And, you know, once you're married, it's all rainbows and unicorns, right? But that's like far from the truth. Yeah, there's a lot of that, but there's also, you know, taking out the trash, which means you also have to do the hard work. You know, you can't just run on hopes and dreams here, right? You know, the car don't run that way. You got to put in some gas, got to put in some hard work. So that's why I picked that, you know, because I feel like that's what people see from us. That's how we're able to show this side of us where, you know, it does look cool. It does look fun. It does look this, because behind closed doors, we do the hard work.
Yeah. When we got married, we used to say, why does everybody make it seem like marriage is the worst? Why does the world try to deter everyone from getting married? And honestly, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be horrible. It doesn't have to be the worst. It doesn't have to be something that people should be scared of. It's just putting in the work and making sure that it doesn't ever get that way.
You know, a lot of times that's going off what you said, it is a lot of work, and a lot of people are still very much in their self-love era where they're like, I'm just going to do me and be this forever. And you know what? Being married is going to be just that person accepting how I am. And that's not true. There is a lot of compromise. There is a lot of ego death. And there is a lot of, you know, erasing the scoreboard and just keeping a general team score. But anyways, we're going to keep it rolling. You know, with that being said, what do you believe is the key to maintaining a strong emotional connection in our marriage?
I think that the key for us, and I like the way that you pose that question in our marriage, because every marriage is different. So I just want to make note of that. But I think the key for us has definitely been communication. And before we got married, we had a lot of the hard conversations, a lot of the important conversations that people don't have. They don't take the time to have. And even though we got married fairly quickly, I think that we really took the time to set a strong foundation, especially in communication. So I think that that's been one of the major keys for us.
I think it was a lot of boundaries and respect.
Yeah, that too.
Like, I told you what it was.
Absolutely.
You told me what it was, and I was like, well, I could budge on this, you could budge on that, you know, back and forth. And then it was no, like...
We gave each other the option to decide.
There were a lot of moments where there were feelings arising in me where I would feel like anybody would have been like, you know what? Forget this. But see, that's the hard part in those like hard, difficult conversations that people allegedly have. It makes you want to leave. But the point is, you have to stay there. And that's what, you know, that's the hard work.
So what do you mean by that?
Okay, so before we got married, right, there's a lot of like, you're getting to know the person, and for some reason, everybody knows or thinks they have their way is the only way.
Ah, okay.
Right? Like, this is what it is, that's it. And that's where, like, the compromise comes into play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so, and when people don't get their way, they tend to run. That's why it's called a hard conversation to have. It's It's not easy. It's not going to make you feel good and happy and be like,
yeah, I showed you my real life ahead of time and you showed me your real life ahead of time, which is this was no, you know, when people start dating, they show each other whatever they want to show the other person. We gave each other the real versions of ourselves right away to give each other the decision, the choice to say, this is a real me, accept it or not.
Right. But then, of course, there were those moments where we also had to sit down and talk and be like, well, is that really you or is that something else?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The trauma, the
Right, right. All that stuff. All the stuff. You know, everybody has baggage, you know, and we very much, I showed her my bag and she showed me her bag. This is what I'm packing here. What do you got?
I had a lot of bags.
You want to show? Literally, there's still literally. Bags. Literally, actually, there's still bags here that she uses to like... her day-to-day, you know, life. La, 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 with her little Stanley cup. But anyways, and a lot of that, you know, may have or could have now or before have been, you know, disagreements. And, you know, how do we handle those disagreements or conflicts with each other? I think that's also a very important part of, you know, marriage and how we navigate, you know, day-to-day life. I mean... how do we do that? I mean, we first and foremost, I think we make sure that any conversation or any disagreement or argument, call it what you want, has a, a diffusing moment or a diffusing point where you're like, all right, it's time to de-escalate this moment. Let's chill. And you should always keep that in mind before it even gets to that moment. Be like, you know what? I could de-escalate this at any moment. I think that's a big part for me.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think that for us, too, as time goes on, it's also a lot of, like, learning each other, right? Like, and going into it knowing that you're not going to end up the same 10 years from now. You're not going to be the same people. So constantly having an open mind that your partner can possibly... have a different idea or a different way of approaching things a year from now. And leaving that space open for them to do that and not holding it against them, I think is huge. But I would have to agree with you, like for us, the diffusing moments that at least one of us has to have. You know, we're not perfect. We're human. We make mistakes. Sometimes I fly off the handle. Sometimes not so much, you know, but... mm-hmm. I think it's important that when one of us is a little more hyped than the other, that it to know, okay, I'm going to have to be the one that's going to have to take a second, think about what I'm going to say and diffuse this. Maybe more so Eric does that than I do, but but at least one of us does that. And that's so important for disagreements. It's not about the fight. It's about how you fight. And there is a good way to fight and a bad way to fight. And fights, arguments, disagreements are not, they don't always have to end up badly. So.
I mean, before we continue any further, people might ask, well, you guys only been married for a year. But it, like I said, it's felt like 10 years because of like what we've been through, what we've managed to accomplish. Like we've had to move at least 3 times. I've had her move her out of her apartment into our first apartment and then back out of our apartment to our new place. And even just moving is grounds for people to like rip each other apart. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that. We've, you know, we've managed to like run a household very well. looking at people's like quirks and what they do, talking about it. Like these are all like these are all conversations that are pointless. And then once you have that disagreement or that argument, you're just like, what's the point of this?
Right.
And if you realize that there's couples that like have gone married 15, 20 years and they're still doing the same things and don't realize that. Those arguments are like they pick each one of those arguments is a hill they die on every time.
Yeah.
And so that's why I had to like give that little caveat, because, you know, as long as I keep that in mind, I feel like we'd be all right.
Yeah.
I feel like we'd be right. And then adding to that, going ahead, also like personal space and what we do in our personal space after that, or whether, you know, we go and do our own thing just to like not necessarily cool off, but how we kind of, what would you call it?
Well, I want to add on what you just said a little bit.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't want to lose it because I feel like it's
go ahead, yeah.
It's a good golden nugget. When you get married and you start living with someone, right? Because we didn't live together before we got married. I think that's also important. And that's something that I'm really proud of for both of us, and a standard that we had for ourselves separately and also for each other. And we really stuck to that. But I want to say that we, even though, of course, when you move in with someone and you get married and you really find out, you know, how they live, right? There's like a saying about you don't know someone until you live with them. Of course, everyone's going to have their things, right? Like you said earlier, your quirks and whatever. And to some people that might be annoying. And yeah, sure, you might annoy each other, whatever. But we give each other the space to be ourselves individually. And we gave ourselves the space as a couple and as a husband, you know, husband and wife, to figure that out. We didn't get frustrated so much. And if we did get frustrated, it didn't linger. Like, I think that we were really great about understanding where we came from and how we were gonna handle things and move forward with it, if that makes sense. We really gave each other the space to be ourselves and kind of figure it out. It takes time to get into the groove of, okay, you're married, you're living with each other, and like you have to get into the groove of how are we going to do this together now. Mm-hmm. So I think we did that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, a big part of that is realizing or knowing coming into it is having to leave my ego and whatever, you know, place that I came from.
Yeah.
I very much don't have an ego. You don't either. Because then that's how we managed to be able, you know what, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this? You know what, let's come back to it. And then that's another great thing. We never leave, like we never storm out.
Yeah. We have those conversations. We set those boundaries, like you mentioned in the beginning, ahead of time. Like, it might sound silly to a lot of you, but, you know, we had conversations of, okay, what are you going to expect from me chores wise? You know, who was going to have the responsibility of this and that? Who was going to be doing what? I mean, we literally had like a questionnaire that we filled out that was like so that we knew what we were getting into, which I think a lot of people don't do, and they don't utilize the resources that they have around them. But we really did utilize those resources so that we could be successful. So we set ourselves up for success. I mean, all of the conversations from who's going to throw out the garbage to who's going to cook the food to, you know, and we stand in those roles. We stand in those, you know, responsibilities. What?
So we did the questionnaire, right? Because like all things, everything was against us. People were like, oh, well, you guys don't know each other and you guys are going to fail and this and that. And
right.
That's not a good idea. So we're like, all right, let's play it safe. Let's take this questionnaire. Let's do it. Compatible. Boom. People would have thought, you know, she took both tests. but then as time goes on, this is the thing. This is I stand on business when I talk about ego. This is the thing. You can't have an ego. You can't have a scoreboard that says Marissa 1, mm-hmm. Eric 1, mm-hmm. Marissa 0, Eric 2. You know, you can't because this is where I'm trying to get to. That questionnaire, I don't want to say it's out the window now, but roles change And this is where the 80-20 comes into play, where it's like, some days I'm exhausted. Other days she's exhausted. And you know what? Sometimes she does have to pick up the slack, or sometimes I do have to pick up the slack. And that's all right, because if there was a big ego in the room, they'd be like, well, you've been slacking, and the point is, it's not like just coming home and being like not communicating. You got to be like, you know what, I've been worked to the bone, I'm taxed.
Yeah, but I think that in the beginning, you know, like everyone says, you have this honeymoon stage. I think it helped those beginning stages for us because we weren't so tired then. I'm on 20 today. That wasn't the case, right? Because we were in that quote unquote honeymoon stage, which we both always say it shouldn't, there's not a honeymoon stage. It should always feel like that. But in the beginning, you know, we didn't feel like that right away. But having the understanding of this is my role and this is your role and this is how we're going to work together, that really helped set us up for success that first year, because the first year is always the hardest. And now that we're over a year into it, when I'm feeling 20, you fill in the rest. And when you're feeling 20, I fill in the rest. But that's because we put in the necessary work and built that trust and respect and those boundaries, as you mentioned in the beginning. Without that, without ever having those conversations, we might not have stuck it out.
That's true. And just to clarify what the whole 80-20 thing is, it's, you know, people call it 50-50. This whole modern day stuff is like, oh, well, everything has to be 50-50. They pay for this, they pay for that, or they do this and I do this. No, a lot of the times we're successfully to get through things, it always is 100-100. 100 on her part, 100 on my part. And where she lacks, maybe she might be 50. And I got to put in the rest of the 50 to come up with 100. Or she's 80 and I'm like, you know what? I'm like on 20. 20 points for me today. I'm going to go lay down. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's kind of like a, what would you call it? Marriage scale? To make sure your marriage is always on 100.
200.
200 or 100. 100, because we're just one team, right? So that's just what I wanted to add, because people are like, what? 80-20? 80? What are you guys doing? Splitting bills? No, and then playing a big role. I think a big role is the way we handle, you know, our healthy balance of, you know, personal space and togetherness. I think for me, you know, I'm just, right now I'm kind of like a hot mess. So I'm in a good, like, 70 all the time.
Coasting
right now all the time, because like I said before, I work a night shift, and like the night shift is taxing. Like, honestly, like, shout out to you, because going into the night shift, everybody told me, like, are you married? Yes. How long have you been married? A year and some change. And then they look at me, they're like,
no, you started the night shift right around the time we got married.
Exactly.
You started 2 months after.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
2 months after.
See, I don't even know anymore. That's how much the night shift has damaged
me. This year has blended together.
So they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm just letting you know. I'm not trying to say nothing, but, you know, a lot of people get divorced here. And I was like, well, sir, excuse me.
Yeah.
What? And yeah, that was a thing, you know, especially night shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, night shift is different here. You're going to be here, you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the holidays, a lot of birthdays, a lot of this and that. So it's not good for marriage. And I was like, what?
We were both determined, though. Like, if you know me, you know, anyone can say anything and I'm going to make sure it ends up the exact opposite way. That's just me.
And so, you know, nobody wants to fail a marriage. So then, you know, a big part of it was like, personal space.
Well, damn, we just got married.
So
how are you gonna say that?
Right. So like, night shift is like terrible for me, and that's why I say I'm on 70 coasting all the time now because of it. Yeah, that was our dog. That was one of our other doggies. She wanted to say hello. And so a lot of it is, you know, how we, you know, how we balance the personal space, because I very much have to be alone a little bit, because some days I'll be like,
yeah, we have opposite schedules.
I had a rough day. Most of them were pretty rough because, you know, people. But either way, I mean, I think I managed to have authority over personal space when it comes to, like, all right, you know what, babe, you got to get out the house. Go somewhere, because you've been cooped up here for too long and we both need some time apart. And then that's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, you got to do everything together. Everything.
We have such a good, I think that we have figured out a good balance now. And honestly, we didn't really have a choice with the whole personal space. I think in the beginning, we did really enjoy doing things together a lot because we enjoyed each other's company. But we were kind of forced into taking that space because you'd be gone nights and I'd be gone days, you know, when I had Mariposa and I wasn't home a lot. But we figured it out. And I think that that helped because we did have that time. It forced us to have that time away from each other, whether we wanted it or not, so that we weren't at each other's necks all the time, you know, which kind of happens sometimes in relationships. If you're together too much, you start arguing a lot or whatever. But I think it ended up being a good thing for us.
Yeah, you, and also, like, not even just like the forced space. I mean, even if you guys are together a lot, you guys got to separate. You guys got to give yourself a chance to be
doing your own thing,
right? And then have a moment of like, you know what, I miss my wife. Time to go home.
We were really good about that from the beginning, though. I think that, you know, when we were dating, we were both in a place. See, this is the thing.
What's the thing, babe? Tell them.
The thing that people don't understand is, for any relationship, anyone, you have to be in a place in your life where you are okay, wholly, like, as a whole person on your own.
Right.
Not just okay spending time with yourself alone. No, anyone can feel okay being alone. Well, not anyone, but, you know, I mean, like, mentally, emotionally, all of the things. Because if you're not, what ends up happening is, at least from what I've seen, at least from, you know, how I used to be, is you're going to want to be with someone 100% of the time. And that's just not possible. It's not realistic. You both have jobs. You both are two individuals having a life to live. And I think because we were two people who came into our relationship, or really just came into meeting each other, and we were okay on our own, I think that that's helped tremendously. And that's also what has contributed to our success in marriage, and success being, this is what success is for us. So that's, you know, that's what I wanted to say. And that contributes to the personal space, and how do we balance that, and how are we doing with that, and the teamwork and everything, and the togetherness is, we make time for each other. We make sure that we put our marriage first, and that we're spending enough time together, and also that we do things on our own. And you were always like, hey, yeah, go do your thing. Do whatever you got to do. And I was the same.
And then after a while, I mean, like, a lot of people prioritize personal space over togetherness sometimes. And then the roles switch. Like, you want to put more into the togetherness jar than you do personal jar. And then it takes your spouse to be like, I think it's time for you to go outside. I think it's time
go
for
hang
you
out with the boys, Eric.
I think it's time for you to go, you know, do whatever it is you filthy men do. You railroad men do. Hey, do you remember, like, when we first did our podcast?
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, he's so cool. Like, this man is so cool.
Okay.
I think I'm in love with him. He swept me off. He must have had one of those Nimbus 2000 brooms.
Oh, my gosh. Because
he swept me off my feet.
Okay. It was the exact opposite. You couldn't even open the door when you left.
He was so cool.
So a lot of you guys don't know, but, like, me and Eric, we're just friends after the podcast. But if you go and listen to the first episode, I hear all the time, you know, I still hear it till this day. I was just talking to Nat about this, is that you can hear the chemistry on that first episode. But we were really just friends. And we were friends for a few months after that, before we even started dating. But when Eric left my house, I was like, I think there's going to be something here. Yeah, I just told you the truth.
So then with like the personal space and you know, the togetherness, you know, I think that also helps. Yeah, I think that also helps support each other's, you know, individual growth and aspirations. And the way we do that is, well, the way I do it, I can't speak for, you know, my wife yet, because she's right here. She's like, that's not true. That's not true. That ain't true. No. You know, the way we support each other's individual growth and aspirations, I think for myself, like I was saying, I think it's important to do that for my wife. I think it's important that, you know, I make sure she does it, because if not, I know it plays a big part of like her happiness, and like she loves doing it and she's like very passionate about it. So I don't ever want to like dwindle that light. You know, I don't ever want to be like, nah, don't do it. Nope. I don't want to be a ball and chain, basically. So if that's what she does, that's what she does. You know, if she's, that's how she runs her business. All right, you know.
Yeah.
Go and do your thing.
I've done a lot of new things since, you know, me and Eric first met, almost 3 years ago. And people always ask me, they ask me a lot in the beginning, right? Because they see me with this man now and they were like, wow, like he's a man. Like, wow, like you got a good one, right? But they would always ask me.
He's a good man, Savannah.
He's a good man, Savannah. They would always ask me, is he supportive? And I thought it was so crazy that was the one major question I got. But I understand it now. And it's because so many partners, and I say partners because I'm using it as so many men and women, can potentially hold their spouses back. And Eric has never been like that. I don't think that he would have even dated me if that's the kind of person that he was. And it's really, really helped, again, the success of our marriage, because any idea I have, within good reason, right? As long as I have a good plan and I'm like, okay, this is how I think it could work. He's like, all right, well, do it. Go for it. And it's always been like that. Always been like that, no matter what. And if something happens along the way and I need help, or, you know, maybe it doesn't go well, he's always there to support me and to help me figure it out.
Yeah, because I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair that these, you know, two individuals come together, and they're very much individuals when they meet, to come together for one or the other to start like beating them down, or like making them, I don't know. I don't even know what you would call that. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Degrading?
Yeah, yeah. See, my wife's smarter than me, so I don't know a lot of words. I think it's very unfair, you know, like that person was an individual when you met them. Like, so now what are you doing? You know, so that's something I never want to do, because that's the reason I met you. That's why I liked you. That's why, you know, I fell in love with you. And then that's why, you know, we're still here, because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen where, you know, I seen, you know, a couple get married and then they just start being unhappy because one or the other started.
They thought it was going to be something else, but you knew what you were getting yourself into, sir.
Yeah. And they just started like, one of them started just chipping away at the other and breaking them down to like nothing. And it was just like, you could see like the dead eye, you know, it was just, that person wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. That's sad.
It's very sad.
It happens.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what I want to talk about next is, you know, the way we sustain trust and loyalty in our relationship, because I feel that's why people ask a lot of those questions, like, oh, how does he support you? Like, I think that's why it's a common question, because, you know, it stems from, that was Mr. Snorri Pants over here. You know, I think a lot of people don't have that trust and, you know, respect in the relationship and loyalty, because if not, that question wouldn't be there. You know, I feel like that's one of the main insecurities that people have when, you know, your partner is doing something, or your, you know, your wife or your husband is doing something, and they're like, you know what? He's going to meet someone else. Let me break him down before he does.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's the worst.
She's doing too much. Let me break her down before she.
Yeah. We never had that. We were never like. Again, we had those conversations. We talked about everything. Like, we really talked about everything, including jealousy. And we didn't we didn't ever really have that. It was like, first of all, your podcast is the reason we met, and you're so great at it, and I think you should keep doing it. And first of all, events is how we also met. So he was like, yeah, this is you. And that's just how we were. There, I don't think there was like a question in our minds about holding each other back. It was like, how are we going to be successful in our relationship or in our marriage and still do what we love to do?
So yeah, the you know, going back to what you know, my wife said about basically having your shit together before you step into a relationship also goes hand in hand with how, you know, you sustain your trust and loyalty in a relationship, because that's one of the main reasons why we're able to let the other just do their thing, you know, without having that worry in our minds, like, oh, are they out there? What are they doing? Let me see your phone. Where were you? Yeah. You know, what event, what time, you know, who did you interview? You know, so we don't do that. You know, we already know all the stuff. I mean, and even some people that know all the stuff, they still find cracks in the story to try to insert things. And it's like, well, you had time. What would you do with these 3 seconds? You know, and it's weird. And that's why, you know, when we came into it, we very much had like a solid foundation of being our own person and what we wanted and how we wanted to be trusted and how we wanted to trust and how we wanted to be respected and, you know, how we wanted to respect people.
We respected ourselves enough,
right?
You know, to be able to express that. I mean, it's just the way you carry yourself. So it made us, but it's like when you know someone respects themselves, you are going to respect them. And that's how we came into this. Mm-hmm. So that also helped.
Yeah. And that's just how we do it. That's how we do it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't ever worry about like, oh, what is she doing at this event? Like,
we're just us.
And there's events like, what? You're out there like 2-3 in the morning, mm-hmm. and you literally mm-hmm. come home and you're like,
yeah,
my feet hurt.
Yeah.
Like I think at the end of the day, if you're not trying to be serious about yourself, then you really have no business in being married.
Yeah.
That. Because if you just want to go out and like
that part,
live your life and live for yourself and just have an ego and just want to get, you know, taste it all, be it all, see it all, like,
yeah,
then it's not for you. I'm sorry. Like they say, marriage is for everybody. And that's true. It's just what it is. You got to be self-aware.
Yeah. And marriage should be, you know, forever the way that it used to be, the way that people used to value it and see it. And, you know, obviously this.
I'm sorry, guys. We have
kids.
We have kids that have four legs.
That are bad.
And they're badass kids. And they just make all types of noise.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Yeah, see?
This is what happens.
This is what happens.
This, like, is us.
This is a prime example of how you maneuver through marriage. Like, you can't cry over spilled milk and be like, oh, these fucking kids, you know? You just got to, like, accept it because that's what it is.
I think I was going to say, you know, obviously we can touch on, me and Eric don't hide this. We believe in God. And so we can touch on that. But I think that people just don't value marriage the same way that they used to. And that also plays a huge part in divorce rates and successes of marriages nowadays. And we also both knew coming into this, we had the same values and we had the same morals and we had the same value for marriage going into this. So we were very much on the same page, which also helps with the success of any relationship. We see so many people these days that can't even agree on what type of milk to buy. And it's like, come on, let's just be realistic.
We buy all types of milk here. We get Lactaid, you know, we get the, what's your brand?
Lactaid.
We get the Lactaid because she's lactose intolerant. And then sometimes I drink it and then I get a regular gallon of milk and then I drink it too. And then she gets a Lactaid again and then she takes a sip and then I drink it.
The point is that we very much valued marriage, and to piggyback off of what you were saying, you know, marriage is not for everyone. got to be realistic going into any relationship and marriage and have those hard conversations and really know what you're getting yourself into, because it is forever. It is forever. And that's how it should be.
And communication.
Yes.
You know, how effective is communication, you know, regarding the success of our marriage? A lot of people can't talk. They don't know the words. I mean, I
some people don't even try.
Some people don't try because they think it's okay. And, you know, bare minimum is I look good, so this is all you get. You know, that only takes you so far. You know, that whole first attraction only goes so far. It's not there all the time. Mm-hmm. You also got to put in some brain work, you know. So I was just talking to Marissa about this. You remember earlier I was talking to you about how, you know, for me, it wasn't like, for me, it's like a challenge to be not the smartest person in our relationship.
Yeah.
When it comes to like communication and like emotional intelligence and stuff like that, because then with you, like, I don't know, before I used to like express myself freely and like whatever you may want to call it. Like I had words in my head, and now it's like,
it's hard for you.
It's hard for me to express myself with, you know, yeah, with words, and I find it a challenge. I don't give up. And that's what people do. They, when they can't express themselves and they can't find the words, they just close up and, you know, they get into a fetal position and be like, this isn't working. This is not going to work.
Right. People give up too easily.
So for me, it's a challenge. I find challenges fun. And it's not saying that like I'm hunting game. No, it's, I want to be better at it because of my wife. I want to be able to communicate my feelings eloquently. I want to be able to say the correct things correctly. You know, I don't want to have any miscommunication, because that was a big part. We learned very quickly that there were bits and pieces of miscommunication that we noticed.
But see, and I want to like, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to take a moment to, if you guys, you know, are still listening and you heard what we said earlier, you are not, it's not going to be the same as it was in the beginning. And even though, I mean, if you know me and Eric, we communicate, you know, or can communicate very well. I mean, he has a podcast, like he talks, like this is what he does. And me, I mean, I have to communicate to my clients very well all the time. So we have the communication skills, right? We started knowing that. And sometimes you just, something happens. It gets hard, or you fall off, or, you know, you're growing as a person.
It's a different type of communication.
Yeah. So, you know, but you have to hold that space for each other, because when it did get hard to communicate, and again, like we're not perfect, it's like, okay, well, you have to hold each other accountable, and you have to say, okay, I see it's hard for you to communicate right now, but let's just sit here and try to figure it out. That's what it's about. You can't get frustrated. And yeah, sure, it's frustrating. Like, what do you mean you don't have the words now? You know, like in the beginning you had all the words and now you don't. But that's what marriage is. Like, you cannot give up.
Yeah, you can't get frustrated and just throw in the towel, because, excuse me, there are a lot of times where in the beginning, you know, I didn't have the words, and she played a big part in asking questions. Like, even though she was waiting for communication on my part, she was still communicating in a way that was like trying to get some type of like question out of me or answer out of me. So she did that by asking questions like, oh, what do you feel? Or like, what do you, and I'm not saying I don't know my emotions or feelings, but it was just, I didn't know how to put my thoughts into words anymore, because it wasn't,
I had to jog your brain a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at the situation or whatever the situation may have been. It was something deeper, and it's always something deeper. You're never actually mad. You're just either like frustrated, or you just got to sit there for a little bit and figure
sad,
it out.
Sad, hurt, yeah. Anger is a secondary emotion.
Yeah, and that that helped. The whole communication thing isn't only like, you know, like that's the whole thing, communication, because then it also helps us like with major life decisions.
Yeah. And see, again, going back to like everything that we've already talked about, is if we didn't take the time to get to know each other and have those conversations and really figure out who we were before all of this, who knows if we would have even handled that the same way. Who knows if I would have even been like, okay, I know I have to jog my husband's brain a little bit. I know that he has it in him. He is just struggling right now. And that's so important. Like, as women, we need to understand that we can't always expect this perfect, like, perfection out of our men. Is like, they need help too. It's not always about us. So, you know, I want to touch on that because I see it a lot. And I think that if you're not going to be that type of woman for this good man, then, like, leave him alone too. It's not just always, oh, well, the men need to leave her alone. Like, if you are not going to be that type of woman that you know you should be in those hard moments, then you need to look at yourself.
Yeah. And I can't speak on any other marriage or whatever. I can't speak on their roles or whatever, but my role is, like, my primary role as a man is to, like, bring home the cheddar, put down the bread on the table, baby. That's what I do. That's how I does it. And
we believe in gender roles in this household.
And so she,
we're not ashamed of it.
And so she, you know, has my back because I'm working 12, 16 hours night shift. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard. So it's hard. And I don't do, like,
and when he's not, that's what I'm doing.
I don't do like the other stuff where she could do. Like, I'm not in the kitchen. I'm not, like, you know, I'm not, my job is to provide, you know? So I go out there and that's not to say that, like, I don't step in the kitchen. I do.
Or that I don't provide.
Right. But, you know, and that's a big part of it too. I feel like a lot of, so yeah, that's where that, you know, whole 80-20, you know, chart comes into play, because it's, you know, I get wore out a little bit more sometimes, and then she gets wore out a little bit more. But as a man, like, that's just what it is. You know, I see like a lot of dudes out there that are crying over, like, their job. They're crying over, like, their gift being a man to, like, carry these burdens or carry a whole house on his shoulders. And it's like, yeah, everything in moderation, right? Yeah, you still have to find an outlet. But at the same time, like, that is
what you were designed to do.
That is what you're designed to do. Like, can you imagine, like, your physique, you know, like, you're a man, like, you got to step into it. Like, this is why you got broad shoulders. This is why you are who you are.
That's good. I like that.
You know, like, you can't be like, oh, well, you don't do anything. You don't, you know, you're just here by, you know, in your house by yourself. And, you know, you're just, you know, lollygagging around. Like, no, if you think about it, sometimes being at home is worse than us being out there working.
It really is.
You know, so that's why it's like,
I think that you've been able to see that, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably one of the benefits of you working the night shift, right? We've had to change our mindsets a little bit in this household. And you've been able to see the work that gets done at home and the role that I play, right? That a lot of men, they just take for granted and they don't see it. And they, you know, they don't realize that the work at home is sometimes can be harder than the work that they're out doing. And I think it's because you've also picked up my slack, right? Like, mm-hmm. when I'm the one now working those 12-hour days while you're also working those 12-hour days, and someone has to sweep and mop, someone has to do the dishes, someone has to make the food, you know, is that you realize that.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, the communication, you know, stepping back into, you know, our major life decisions as a couple, you know, communication did play a big role in it. We've made a lot of major life decisions.
Yeah.
You know, from where to live and what
jobs,
what to do in those, you know, in our habitats. I mean, dogs, kids, you know, family. Where to spend the holidays,
side hustle,
you know, and you might be asking, like, well, what does communication have to do with that? What doesn't it have to do with that? Mm-hmm. You ever seen somebody try to talk to somebody that doesn't talk back? You ever try to make a decision with the wall?
Seriously.
Like, you ever, like, think about it. Like, it's everything. I mean, God, I mean, like, we talk about everything. I mean, we just don't lay in bed.
Even when we don't want to.
We don't just lay in bed and there's
What? What did you see?
There's this funny thing that my friend's dad told me. He told his kids. He told his kids, and I just laugh about it every
what
time.
What is it?
So what was it? I forgot what we were talking. We're all hanging out, and he was telling me, my friend was telling me, and he's like, we're talking about like relationships or something. We're talking about like talking to, you know, or at the time you were my girlfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's married. And so he told me one time about what he said to him or whatever it was. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you think because you don't see me and your mother talk, you know, all the time in front of you guys that we don't talk? You think we go lay in bed and just make love all the time? You think our bedroom is just to make love? He's like, no. Most of the times we lay there and we talk about stuff. We talk about you fuckers, and what you guys are doing. That's why you never see us talk in front of you guys, because we're in the bedroom talking.
Yeah,
that's
what happens.
And so yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, how do we handle it? How do we navigate it? That goes back to the other thing, the ego. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just gotta trust that. You know, your person has your best interest at heart, and even 90% of the time you're gonna feel and see that they don't. You're gonna be like, no, because I feel weird about this. They don't have my best interest at heart. Because that's like the self defense mechanism, right?
Oh yeah,
that everybody has, like, mm-hmm. like just like the hard conversations.
Yeah,
of like, you're making me feel a certain way, so you're attacking me.
Yeah,
no, that's just you.
Right.
That is how you're perceiving it, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good to talk about those things when you're feeling that way. Because you don't realize that you could very much be misinterpreting or misunderstanding mm-hmm. what the other person is really trying to tell you or really trying to convey or get across because of your own emotional baggage. Because, yeah, even if you're healed or whatever, like, and this can happen years down the line after you're married. You never know when something's going to trigger you and when something's going to come up. That's also why it's so good to communicate. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's so true.
Yeah. And I think everything we've just touched on, it all, it's, what is that graph? You know, like the three circles? The Venn diagram?
Yes, a Venn diagram.
Marriage has a lot of Venn diagrams.
Oh, from God, that's so good.
One thing touching another, and they intersect, yeah. and they meet. Ego touches life decisions and communication. See, and it's you got to know all these key points in order to mesh well together. And that's just what it is. I can't put it any simpler. I mean, you got to get rid of your ego. You got to be able to communicate, and then that'll take you miles.
Your pride.
Yeah, your pride and what you think you stand for, and. And I'm not saying like lose yourself, but you actually have to sit there and discuss these things. It's almost, I told my wife the other day, I'm like, it's almost like we have like a PowerPoint presentation with each decision that we make. Why is it a good idea? Why is it not a good idea?
Weighing all the options, weighing all the possibilities.
Possible investor, you.
Sometimes you just gotta make the leap of faith and have faith.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. I still want to think. I still want to know all these people that are always questioning you about our marriage. Are they a bunch of gossipers or what? Are they a bunch of chismosas or?
I mean, I think everybody at the end of the day wants to know about other people, right? Like, that's just who we are as humans. People just want to know things. People want to be able to hear stories, and I think that's also why podcasting has been such a hit this past like what. Decade.
Oh, your son's over there messing something up. Oh, it's your
is that people
corn.
Want people are interested. They want to know how can I take this and implement it into my own life. And I think that's also why I wanted to do this podcast, is because as much as people think they may know, they really don't. And if we could help one person, whether you're single, whether you're married, like, for me, that would be amazing. Like, God doesn't put us here to keep our stories to ourselves. He put us here to help each other.
This kid.
This, sir, I'm trying to get a thought out. He put us here to help each other, you know? And it's important that people hear this and take whatever you want to take away from it.
Yeah. And going back again, talking about, you know, we've only been married a year and some change.
Do we sound wise, though?
I think I've built a, I think we've built a good enough foundation that'll last us, you know, a lifetime. So I'm not worried about, oh, wait till you're married 20 years, 10 years. Okay. So then we have these basic.
Same respect, same boundaries, right, same trust.
We go back to the same foundational, you know,
blocks,
morals to like keep building off of. You can't build a sand. You can't build a castle on sand.
You can't build a house on broken ground.
Whatever.
It's actually from a song that I really love that I was listening to nonstop the other day, but it's so true and it ties into this.
It ties into anything. I mean, I hope people listen to our episode. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, you're excited?
No. And balance. Balance is everything.
Yeah.
Balance, and you got to be aware of the balance. Like, there's just like this, there's this line in between the balance where you guys dance as partners.
Aw, that's so cute. And, I like that.
And that line is where like tension meets. That's where everything meets. And that's where you guys like thrive, because you guys come from both of your corners and you guys meet in the middle. And that's where either arguments happen or that's where growth happens. But it's a tension line nonetheless. You got to learn how to dance on it. So.
That's good. So good. You get all the hard eyes right now.
Well, guys, yeah, I think we got out a pretty good episode. I mean, it's a little different for my listeners, but I think, like my last episode with Cool, I think, you know, I had mentioned that I was going to put out a little different content because I'm in a different part of my life. Still the same me, but it's just, you know, marriage, home, you know, stuff like that. Still very much do the same stuff, but that's an addition to it. What do you think? What do you think about this episode?
I think it was great. It was exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I shouldn't talk about the behind the scenes earlier.
Well, that's just what it is. I never want people to look at us and think, oh, they're perfect. No, but we are really good for each other. And I think that that's important, to find someone and to be with someone who's good for each other. But also, we're not perfect, we disagree.
We're really good at not being perfect with each other.
We're very much the same and not the same at the same time.
I'm telling you, Venn diagrams. Everything touches. All right, guys. I got nothing else for you guys today. I think that's it. I mean,
if you listen to it, let us know.
I know a lot of people are just going to, like, contact my wife because, you know, some of the people that I have, I don't...
No, I would hope not. I get a lot of people a lot of times saying, like, oh, you guys are goals. And while that's, like, a compliment, right? Like, that's such a compliment. I wanted to do this so that if you didn't have the tools... Now maybe we could have helped with that, and you have the tools now.
But it's still hard though. This episode and the tools, it's not going to give you 100% results. You know, results may vary.
Yeah, obviously. You know, yeah,
and a lot of it is self work. So you can meet in the middle. You got to realize a lot of things about yourself. You know, and that's another big thing too. Before we go, is
yeah, what did you say the other day? Marriage is like having a big mirror held up in front of you all the time. Being married is like having a mirror held up in front of you all the time.
No,
that was good too.
I had quoted it in our 1 year anniversary picture on Instagram. I said, you know, all marriage is you constantly looking back at yourself.
Yeah.
And I tell her this all the time, you know, I know you may think that I annoy you, but at the same time, you got to realize that you annoy me too.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that in mind, that you are annoying. Perfect. Yeah, yourself, you want to start an argument.
You're annoying too.
Right. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. It'll take you far. Trust me.
And honestly, laughing will too. Got to laugh at yourselves, man. Even after those stupid arguments, like,
Nothing's that serious. You know,
it really is not.
Nothing.
Unless you're killing each other, then maybe.
It doesn't matter about, you know, money. Money comes and goes. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big things.
Hard times come and go.
Yeah, you're always going to, like, be down or you're going to be up. You're always going to break flush.
It's how you support each other in that.
Right. If money is the factor that makes your marriage, what happens when you don't have money?
Yeah.
You know? What do you guys
God can give it to you and take it away.
What do you guys do when you guys are by yourselves? Like, figure out a way to not use money to be together. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, bills are going to come. All these things are going to come. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
What are you going to do?
You know? All right, guys. I think we've rambled on for a little bit too much. I didn't want to make it too long. I don't want to make it too short. I wanted it to be just enough for you guys to enjoy your car ride home. I hope you guys didn't get into a fight on the expressway.
Or enjoy washing those dishes while you're listening to this, because that's what I do.
Yeah, or enjoy washing your dishes or
cooking that meal.
Oh, here's a big thing before we leave.
Oh, yeah.
See, here's a big thing. See, we talk about dishes, and for the longest part, I did the dishes. And, you know, my wife would do them sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, because she brought up dishes, here's a key example of, like, how we managed to just, like, okay, yeah. So I was so against, we have a washing machine, dishwasher, and I was so against using it, because I was like, nah, I don't want to use it. It doesn't wash right. I wash them way better, yada, yada, yada. So then I was like, it's one of those things, right? I was like fighting it. I was like, nah, we're not doing that. I'm not fixing it. We're not getting a new one, whatever. And so I was so against it, right?
And I was okay with it for a little while. I understood, okay.
And she was like, you're going to wash the dishes anyways.
Yeah. I was like, well, okay, fine then. You know, that's one of your things. That's one of your chores that we both understood. We signed up for.
And so getting back to, like, what was going on, I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. So then finally, like, the whole plan was to fix it, because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy a new one. I'm just going to fix it because I'm Mr. Fixer-Upper, right? I fix stuff. And so the whole plan was to run it, see what was wrong with it, diagnose it, do all this stuff. And so we just never really got around to it. We just talked about it. And so one day my wife just, like, up and like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to turn it on and see what it does. And there was nothing wrong with it. So we're like, I'm side-eyeing her, like, her over there washing the dishes in the dishwasher now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess just use it, you know. You know? I wasn't going to get up and argue, because that is a moment where somebody could get up and argue and be like, oh, well, this and that, and throw all these excuses out why they don't want to use the dishwasher, and be like, no, you know what? We're not using it. I'm going to stand on business right here, because I said so, and this is what it goes, and this is my house, and I pay bills around here, and King Kong ain't got shit on me. And so, no, I was like, you know what? Let me just chill, because this is not the hill to die on, right? And so when I saw how much time it freed up, I was like, wow, I was really just getting in my own way.
And the crazy thing is, I only took it upon myself to see what was wrong with it because Eric had been so busy that week and the dishes didn't get done. And I was also busy. And so I was like, if I could help him with one of his chores, something that is his responsibility, right? Because I love him. I am his wife. I will pick up the slack, put in that 80 when he's 20. I was like, let me just figure it out. Let me try to figure it out. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing since then.
That was a prime example. I laid my ego to rest. I said, you know what? I don't have a dog in this fight.
And I also laid my ego to rest, because I was like, well,
go for it.
This isn't my job, but you know what? I'm going to help him out.
And I'm over there loading a dishwasher. I'm over there.
And now I load it too. So look at that. Shared chore that we originally didn't agree on, but then ended up agreeing on it.
That's it. And that's all I got for you guys. I hope you guys made it home safe. Hope you guys took a key moment out of our life and figured some things out, came to realizations, conclusions. Hope you guys are gonna go home today or share this episode with somebody you kind of care about or may not care about. Hope you share this episode with
your husband or your wife.
With your husband or your wife. I got all the answers. No problem that can't be fixed over a little whiskey ginger. Like my friend Chris.
Oh my goodness.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, I got nothing else for you guys. I guess anything you want to say before we leave? I know we've been signing off for like the past 2 minutes. But
I know. It's because we have so much to share. The last thing I would say that I do want to share is that we always, I feel like we do a really good job at keeping God in the center of our marriage. And I think that that's really important to share.
Okay. That's true.
I think that it has made a huge difference. I think going into this, you know, even our relationship, we both valued the same things and believed in the same things. So that's all.
And
that
helps. At the end of the day, fellas, it's not worth it. Keep your eyes to yourself.
What? What's not worth it?
It's not worth it. There's nothing out there. Trust me. I've heard all the stories. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
You spent a lot of money in your house. You bought nice couches. You got a banging TV. You got a beautiful wife, probably. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Fix it.
Just, you got to love yours before you go out there and love something else.
That's good.
Right there. You got it all right there. That's what Cool told me. He's like, this is everything you have. This is all of it right here. Boom. This is it.
Hope that gives you some perspective.
All right, guys. It's been for real. Me and my wife are out of here. We're going to go do some togetherness. Sit down and watch TV. We're going to watch TV. I'm tired. I've been working all morning. What about you, babe? Ready to watch a movie?
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'll catch you guys on the next one. This is Eric signing off.
All right, everyone. That was the show. It's been for real. And if you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making it, go ahead and like, share, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. It'll be greatly appreciated. Thank you.